Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
I'm not fucking around. Get out of here.
It's showtime.
I'm getting ready for parenthood, B. You know what I'm saying? Daddy's trying to work.
What a great way to start the show.
Yeah. We back, baby. Birdman Hamra. We gonna
Birdman Hamra. All right, let's get That's it, y'all. Right. Welcome back.
Before we jump in, can we talk about you guys' birthdays? Happy birthday to the both of you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Gemini boys are back.
Yes, That's sir. Right.
What'd you guys do? How was your birthday week?
Maze.
I've just been cashing in on free meals. That's pretty much what's been
That's
world.
Like my favorite part. Yes.
So went to dinner with my mom and my girlfriend last week. By the time this comes out, I will have gone to the House of Prime Rib in San Francisco, which is essentially like an old school steakhouse place where they wheel around giant racks of prime rib on a cart. And they roll up to your table and they cut you a piece right there. And then they plop it on your table. And I'm excited for that. I haven't been there in easily a decade. It's one of those places where you have to make a reservation like a ways in advance.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to that with my dad, my uncle, my girlfriend, and my friend. So that'll be the last hurrah. But yeah, mostly just eating good. That's been my birthday experience. Jason has been, counteracting my inactivity, I'm sure.
With high volume of activity. I actually started by not eating where I wanted to eat. I had a reservation at the Nice Guy, which I had recently went there with my girlfriend and her sister, Tashina Arnold, Too Short, a bunch of people, and I loved it. It was like the first time I went, and I was like, oh, I got to go here for my birthday. Made reservations, and on my birthday there was a kitchen fire.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they sent me a text at like 10 a.m. on my birthday. Like, sorry, we have a small kitchen fire. Like, we have to cancel your reservation. So, end up going to John and Vinny's, which is actually my favorite restaurant right now. With my grandparents, I always go to dinner with my grandparents for my birthday and my girlfriend. Yeah. So that was cool. And then we went to Delilah. I saw Big Waz there.
I was just going to say, of course you saw Big Waz.
Of course.
Ran into Big Waz, chopped it up with him.
Was he schmoozing as the owner of the establishment?
Yes, exactly.
Doing his rounds.
Yes, Big Waz is like Rick from Casablanca in Delilah, if you've ever seen that movie. You know, he knows everybody. He's talking it up, chopping it up. Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't been drinking. You know, I've been on a diet. I don't know if I like told you guys about that, but started the year off. I was pretty husky. I was 175 pounds. You know, I'm a slim guy, 5'8", and that's a lot for somebody like me. So I decided to go on a diet a little over a month before my birthday. Changed all my eating habits, started exercising. So I lost about 9 pounds. And with that, I hadn't drank any alcohol. So I got blackout drunk on my birthday, was saying crazy shit, was going in, was having conversations with Waz, saying wild shit. Because if there's anybody to bounce off your wild takes with, Waz is the one.
That's your guy.
Yeah. And he has some interesting takes about the Kendrick Lamar album as well. We bonded over that. And it was a interesting time. So then after that, went to Vegas, spent my weekend in Vegas. I was supposed to meet B twice, and I didn't. I stood her
Jason
up.
Jason stood
I apologize.
Me up. I'm stood sorry. Me up two times. I had the whole hookup for you, too. All you had she to had do was pull up.
She had the plug for me.
Yeah, at my job, we had Don Tolliver, we had Miguel, and you missed both. And
I missed
really
both.
Good too. Yeah.
I actually really, really like Don Tolliver. He's done a couple of songs with Dom. Funny story about that is before he even did songs with Dom, when he first popped onto the scene.
That's Dom Kennedy.
Yeah, for those that don't know. When he first popped onto the scene, he actually came to Dom's studio with J305 when I was there, when he had just appeared on Astroworld. And I was telling Dom, I was like, yo, Dom, you need to like sign this dude or link with this dude. Like, he's fire. Like, he's got the best song on Astroworld, and like everybody loves his album. But you know, Dom doesn't really listen to Travis Scott or like that type of young music. But eventually, like, he would find his way to Don Tolliver. They did a bunch of songs together. I think his relationship with Hit-Boy kind of like nurtured that. Hit-Boy, who's also a Gemini, shout out to him. I think his birthday's coming up. Okay. So you know, everything comes full circle. But yeah, so I missed the Don Tolliver show. I missed Miguel, who I also fuck with. And I missed meeting B for the first time. So that was
crazy.
A disappointment. I apologize sincerely for that. But I did see Silk Sonic in Vegas.
Oh my God, I love them so much.
Which was tremendous. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. I would put them second only to Beyonce.
Wow.
Yeah, I had great seats. So, you know, it's funny. I was thinking like, oh, if I hit on the tables, like I'll buy tickets, because the tickets were expensive as hell. But just so happened, you know, I'm very well connected. My cousin works for the security company. And yeah, exactly. Man, brush right. My shoulders off. And she got me, my girl, and my mom 3 tickets to the show.
She got 3 more?
she might. But yeah, she was showing mad love that day. And, you know, I just happened to be at the right place, the right time. And, yeah, the concert was phenomenal. They don't let you bring your phone in. They make you lock it up.
The zip lock bags, right?
Yeah, exactly. Although people have skirted around that. I've already seen like, you know, videos of different parts of the concert on Twitter. I guess some people have 2 phones, who knows?
Kevin Gates.
It was,
right.
Exactly. But yeah, it was an excellent show. Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars are both just top tier musicians. The grooves are, you know, they borrow from old school and integrate them into their songs that already are inspired by the old school. They have a video of Bootsy Collins introducing them. You know, you're dancing the whole time. It's just a phenomenal show. But yeah, the tickets are hella expensive. The cheapest ticket is like $600. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
similar
if you
to
can
when
afford
I went
it.
To see Usher. Yeah, how it was with Usher. Yeah, it was. And then the service charge, the service fees on top of it. Yeah.
How much is that in Usher bucks, B? Like 5G?
I actually got to take some Usher bucks home. They made it rain.
Mm.
Yeah.
Shouts to your mom, Jason, for going to a Silk Sonic show in Vegas with you. That's dope, dude.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, if you know anything about my mom, she's the turn-up queen. Yeah, she's the turn-up queen. My mom, shout out to her. She's born on Christmas. I don't know if that has anything to do with her turn-up, but she loves to get after it. She loves to party. She parties. She's been partying forever. My aunt is the same way, Dom's mom. They both love to party and hang out. And have a great time. So that's, they were there in Vegas literally for my birthday to hang out and party. I didn't even get to spend that much time with them, but but I mean, it was like,
whenever
that was kind of
convenient to whatever the hell they were doing.
Exactly.
They would come by and say what's up.
Cause I had friends out there as well. And then I had people that I knew also out there, like my other cousin, his birthday is May 27th. So,
okay.
And he just got out of prison. Shout out to Mark. And he's like, you know, Asian. So he hangs out like in that set. He has a lot of tattoos. So we were at like Skin Design, I think is the name of the, tattoo shop out there. And they have like this whole, like, you know, Chinatown area. He's not Chinese, but he's Filipino, but like they have like this, you know, whole kind of other subculture in Vegas. Mm-hmm. That I was not aware of like very heavily tattooed people who just, you know, hang out and do their thing. And they had this big ass shoe store, which I forgot the name of it. It was in Caesars. But yeah, we did a ton of shit, man. I had a fucking blast, and then came home on Monday and my aunt was back and they made barbecue, and yeah, it was a great fucking weekend.
So you saw everyone but me. Okay.
I saw everyone. But BC, cool. You were a part of the late night set. So that was the whole thing. So, okay. So when we went to, the night before we went to see Silk Sonic, which was Friday night, Mark wanted me to come to Treasures with him. And I love Treasures. Treasures is a strip club out there. And, didn't go, like fell asleep. So literally every night, like after 12, because we're so used to getting up early, like we just crashed. So like Saturday night, it was Silk Sonic and we were just done. And then like Sunday, we went to eat. We went to Beauty in Essex and like a couple other random places. And, you know, we were just done. So it was like.
So you hit me and asked me about a lunch spot. And you end up going to Lolo's Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah. So that was one of the more interesting adventures in Vegas.
My God.
Because the food was excellent. You know, shout out to Lolo's. The food was excellent.
I told you it was great.
But it was the most nigga experience ever. Like, we literally get there. We put our names down. First, they tell us 40 minutes. And then, of course, my girlfriend goes up and complains after like 5 minutes. And they're like, okay, no, we can sit you outside. Then we sit outside. Waitress comes to us. Okay. You know, offers us whatever drinks. We order our food. We order the drinks. She brings us out the drinks. We don't see her for another 45 minutes. And nobody came and checked on us. There was
self-serve.
No. Yeah, there was no like, hey, sorry for the wait. You know, so after like 50 minutes, close to an hour, I get up, walk into the restaurant because we're sitting on the patio and I'm like looking for the waitress. She's not around. I'm like, where the fuck did our waitress go? And then I ask another waitress and she's like bringing somebody their food. And she's like, yeah, the wait is 55 minutes for the food. And I'm like, well, nobody fucking told us that. And then so I walk back outside and the people who are sitting next to us are like, we've been waiting for 2 hours. For our food.
Okay, now.
And it was crazy. And so then the reason why I went there was my cousin had went there earlier and he told me it was bomb. And so he ends up telling me that earlier there was an altercation in there because there was a girl there who had just turned 21, but she had one of those IDs that was like the horizontal ID or whatever. So they didn't want to give her the drink. Then she got into it with the waitress and the people who were cooking the food in the back started coming out. So it was like the full black experience from head to toe. But, you know, I loved it. You know, I can't really like. I don't really hate that stuff as much anymore. It's, you know, like it's definitely something that got on my girl's nerves a lot more than it did mine. But yeah, the fried chicken, the waffles, the mac and cheese, the yams, it was all top tier. They had, of course, people in the front selling the little ghetto shirts of Tupac and Nipsey and Kobe Bryant jerseys. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I loved it.
Pull up.
Yeah.
With the Lolos. Give me some Kobe gear.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, it was fire.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, even though I didn't get a chance to see you. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe now, next time. I don't think Maze would leave until we met.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah.
But you just like, I'm out of here. Peace.
Our flight was at 6 a.m. on Monday. So, you know, I was just like, I had to bounce. But also, I love Vegas. So that's another thing. I was like, I know I'm going to come back because I got family out there. I got homies out there. My homie John John, who was on Crypto Bros, the other show that we host on the Bomb Network. He's the first black person to own a 7-Eleven in the state of Nevada. And he's got his 7-Eleven is kind of over by the Top Golf. So, I'm going to come back out there and, you know, just fuck with all y'all. You know what I'm saying? All my Vegas folks.
Yeah. I'm trying to get everyone to come out here for Summer League.
Oh, yeah. It's they do have time. Summer League out there. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get some folks. You'll get some traffic for Summer League. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So last episode of Showtime, we left off right before we discussed the post credits.
Yes.
So,
let's travel back in time. Let's go back to Atlanta. We got to reminisce on just what went down. We got Donald Earn at the studio or whatever that is, or his place. He gets a package, a delivery. It's a suitcase. He goes down. Suitcase is for Ernest Marks, but it's not his suitcase.
Wait, now that I think about that, Maze, quick question. Where is he? Is he supposed to be in Europe?
No, I think he's got to be back in Atlanta.
Which is such a weird timeline thing. I never even thought about it till right now.
Right, because I was thinking he was like traveling somewhere and someone was like, okay, if you're on tour, we'll have your bags delivered to you.
Right.
But he's saying it's not my bags. But remember in this that last episode, Zazie Beetz, what's her Van?
Van.
When they go to that museum, you have the paperboy. Yeah, you got the paperboy poster that he's coming to Paris. So it's like, are they still in Europe? What's going on?
The timeline is fucked, B.
It's fucked up.
It's not linear. That's what I've been trying to say all season. Is like, it doesn't matter. It's all bullshit. But I read that as being back in Atlanta for whatever reason. I also think that I was the one who was pushing the idea that season 4 will be in Atlanta. Whereas I think you guys were more thinking that it would continue on the Euro trip stuff a little bit. I thought that was Atlanta because I thought that obviously our man E, who we find out that the suitcase belongs to, the white urn, we see him on the boat in Atlanta. And I believe when he shoots himself in the pool, that is also Atlanta. So that is my thought there.
Oh, and then if you think about the guy who delivered the bag, he looks like
American.
Yeah,
that's what I was. That's what made me think of it right now. I was like, wait, no, they can't be in the European because that dude who delivered it is definitely a black American in America. So, yeah, that's interesting.
So then he opens up the suitcase. It's got some random stuff in there. It's got a Deftones t-shirt. We had this whole incredible, insightful conversation about the Deftones, how I don't rock with the Deftones. And then I found out due to my research that they're not all completely white. So then I felt a little off the hook because I didn't know who the Deftones really were. So everybody missed that, but I hope that recap kind of sums it up. But then he pulls out the photo, the family photo, and it's revealed that it is Earn E, White Earn, whatever the hell you want to call him, the creepy guy that we've seen twice so far this season. And yes, what does it mean, Jason?
Who the hell knows? Like, I'm so confused. I guess he had a nice family, and I don't fucking know. Is this supposed to be juxtaposed with Black Earn's the lack of family dynamic that he's got going on with Van? I don't know. Like, what do they want me to draw from this? I'm so confused, you know? The Deftones song that I know that I was mentioning was Change in the House of Flies, which is their most popular single. And the lyrics of the song is I Watched You Change. So I guess that might have something to do with it. I don't know. This is all like it gives me like the smart kid in class who tries to bullshit his way through his final, by just like being weird and esoteric and being like, you don't really get it. Like, that's kind of the vibe that I got from it. But I don't know. I read an article basically saying like Atlanta is whatever Donald Glover wants it to be. And it's kind of, and we just follow along with it. And I guess that's really what all I can say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Do we know when the next season is going to air?
I don't think they have a date yet, but it will be in the fall. So it won't be that long.
Okay.
Probably 4 months or something like that, I would imagine. I did see one cockamamie theory. I'm going to throw this ridiculous theory at you, B, okay? And I want your response. So, our Earn, Donald Glover, is not really Donald Glover, okay? He doesn't look like that. That's what he looks like to us, but to the other characters in the show, because there's been some strange confrontations with random people along the way. Ernest Marx is white.
Holy shit.
I don't know about that one.
Okay, wait, because I'm with you until we get to the incident in Amsterdam with the blackface and everything, where he was able to blend in. But is this a way of saying, like, white Earn is, like, taking over his... I don't know. What do you mean? Like, I'm trying to figure out what this could even...
Hey, I don't give the... I'm just throwing the theory at you. This is your job as my podcast partner here to unpack your feelings about this ridiculous internet thought that I found. That I dismiss as absurd.
I think the whole purpose of it is to spawn internet thoughts and articles.
You think it's an Ouroboros? You think that he's feeding them the theories? He's feeding them the fuel to crank out the absurd conspiracies to just ideate mindlessly about this show.
The snake is eating its tail, man. It's just that's the trick. I feel like a lot of these new black, hip, intelligent artists have figured out and are running with. But I also feel like, it's kind of killing the art a little bit because everybody.
Who else do you feel is doing it?
I guess I don't want to say Chappelle, but it's like I feel like what is his thesis anymore? I feel like
to a degree, you're right on Chappelle because what he's done is he started a cycle by saying some inflammatory things.
Yeah.
And then feeding off of the response to it. More
of that. Exactly.
Off of it.
You. Yeah.
So
that's the trick.
That is absolutely what's happening with him.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about Donald Glover. It's just like they both discovered that trick. Like, that's just an easy game to play. Like, I can generate dollars by doing this. Oh, I can create a hot take, and then you're mad at the hot take. And I'm going to respond, and now we can just play that ping pong game till the end of time.
It's really, it's really what Skip Bayless does extremely well.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Just say inflammatory shit and then have you react to it so he can lean even further in. But, yeah, I think we talked last week about how I thought it was a nice through line. I thought it kind of hammered home that character and just the spooky connection of everything. We talked a lot about the white ally this season and identity. Mm-hmm. And so to have someone with your same name, but who's the opposite of you, kind of crash into your life in a strange way, but you like his t-shirt, you know, put a little bow on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a strange ending, but I guess we'll get some more strange episodes in a few years, maybe. We'll see. Yeah, so what else are you guys watching?
Man, I haven't had time to watch shit. Okay, so here's the thing with me. Because there's a lot of movies, like a lot of classics that I haven't seen. So if you were like to throw a movie like Star Wars, I've never seen Star Wars. And the reaction that I get every time I'm like, oh, I haven't seen it.
Don't tell
him. It's the same thing with shows. I already told him. Because he was like, oh yeah, do you plan on watching? No, I don't. I have no plans to sit down and start Star Wars. I don't.
I feel you.
I don't know. I like shows. I like comedies. I like things that are like quick and easy to watch. It takes a lot for me to sit down and watch a movie because I like to, the way that I like to watch TV, I don't like having a second screen. My phone, I put it away. I need all distractions gone. I need my son asleep. Yeah. That's right. Lock it up, baby. So yeah. So I don't always get the opportunity and the time to sit down and focus on a movie unless literally I go to the theater and sit down and watch a movie. Because home is not happening with my son asking me a million questions and people calling me and texting me and the shit that I got to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I have the sacredness of a movie theater. Right? I think that that still has it, you know? Like, obviously there's some D-bags every once in a while where they're on the phone or whatever during the show. But like for the most part, people are there. They're quiet. The phones are away and we're watching this together. It's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than somebody pulling out their phone in the movie theater or somebody talking too much or at the wrong time in a movie theater. I'd say there's probably like a 70-30 with people talking because there have been some great moments where I've been in a movie theater and somebody's yelled out something at the screen that was truly hilarious and really added to the experience. Yeah. But most of the time, they do not. I got a good show for you to watch, B, that will fit right in your wheelhouse. That Damn Michael Che.
Oh my God. So I watched the first season. Loved it. Yeah. Someone told me that the second season is out. And so this is on HBO?
Yes.
Okay. So when HBO releases, like they have a show like this, do they do one episode at a time or is just like the full season available now?
I don't know. Honestly, they differ with like with Hacks. They're starting to release two episodes at a time.
Hacks is 2 a week on Thursdays. I remember the first time. Yeah. So it's almost already done, B, which is what's crazy. Like it's about to be the last two of the season this Thursday. So yesterday, and it already came out. And for That Damn Michael Che, it's already got 6 episodes up.
Shit.
Did they do that every week, Maze? Because I just binged them all right now. So have they been coming out every week or has it been all the 6 at once?
Hacks has been, are you saying That Damn Michael Che? No,
yeah, the Michael Che.
They're all out right now.
No, I know. I'm saying, did they all come out at the same time or did they release weekly?
That's a question for a different website, Jason. I'll let you know in just 1 second.
But yeah, I just binged That Damn Michael Che, and it was fucking hilarious.
I think he's funny. Yeah. So when it comes to TV shows, do you like it when it's a week by week thing, or do you like for everything to come out at once and you watch it on your own terms?
Real quick, time out. Yeah. That Damn Michael Che, all 6 episodes came out on the 26th, which was last Sunday. But go ahead. Binge or weekly model? The eternal question, Jason.
It depends on what the show is, right? I mean, I love that Succession is a weekly show. I love that Euphoria was a weekly show. Mm-hmm. But I think most other shows, I would rather binge them. Like, I don't want to wait every week. Like, I'm watching Obi-Wan right now on Disney Plus. I would much rather all of the episodes be out right now than me having to wait another week to watch this show. Same with like Loki or any of the other like Marvel shows.
What about WandaVision? Like I liked how it was week by week, you know?
No. I mean, you know what? Specifically WandaVision, I actually did appreciate because they used that theme of every decade was a new episode.
Right.
And
right.
that was really cool. But that's not how I watched the show. I waited the first 5 weeks before I watched a single episode.
How did you do that? Because the spoilers were crazy on social media. I had to watch it the night it was released.
I mean, I just tried not to pay attention to it. I'm not somebody who like mutes things on my timeline, even though I probably should. But yeah, I just kind of tried not to look at it. And sometimes shit gets spoiled for me. I'm not going to lie. I've had a fair amount of things spoiled for me. And it hurts my soul. It's not fun. It's not a good feeling at all. Yeah. What about you, Maze?
I definitely prefer the week to week. And the reason for that is I like to be part of the conversation, wherever that is.
Yes.
I like to engage in the conversation. I like to talk on podcasts. I like to read people's thoughts. If you have a week and the show is good, you can watch it, process it, get some other people's thoughts and feelings, incorporate that into your own, come back, you're ready for the next episode the next week. It's not like, I'm not the type of person who forgets what happened last week. That's my girlfriend. Like, she's like, "What? Where are we again? Like, what happened in the show last time?" Yeah, she needs the 1 minute previously on Hacks.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Yeah. But Stranger Things came out this last weekend, and so this is the biggest test of the theory. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about how Netflix has, like, struggled recently. Mm-hmm. Their shares have been going down. They started firing people like crazy. They don't have a lot of hits. Stranger Things is one of their big, big, big franchise platform shows. It's been off the air for 3+ years. And they came back with they have a fourth season. They dropped 7 of the 9 episodes. Every episode is over an hour long. It's an hour and 15 minutes. The seventh episode is an hour and 40 minutes.
Come on now.
And I watched the whole fucking thing on Saturday.
Wow.
With my mom. It was my mom's request. She's like, for Mother's Day, because I introduced my mom to Stranger Things like 3 months ago. So she's coming in with all this energy that is way in the past for me. Like, I watched everything, but it was years ago, and I have not gone back. She's coming in. She knows who everybody is. She knows what happened. I'm actually relying on her for stuff, which was fun to have a resource. But it was good, and I enjoyed it, and I'm excited for when it comes back in 2 months for the finale. But
hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got 2 cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
It feels like 100 years ago, or it was Saturday.
Yeah.
There was no time to process any of the movies, essentially, that I watched, because it was
five or six movies.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And it's like, there's the people who binged it all and know what happens and know the big reveal and know all that. And there's a little bit of conversation, but I don't have time this week to listen to five podcasts talking about the 9 hours of television. You know, it's just like completely insane. So the only things that I like to binge are what B was kind of talking about, like 30-minute comedies. Like, right. Abbott Elementary, you know, I haven't watched all of them. When I have some time, maybe I'll watch like two or three, and it's 20 minutes, and that's chill. Like that's fine for binging. That's what I like. But if it's a big show, if it's something that I want to actually like think about and talk about, it's got to be a weekly model.
Yo, I don't know. Y'all know this. I mean, y'all know I'm not from here. My dad is from Sudan. I'm from Sudan. My dad's lived a really interesting life. He literally grew up in a village. He was born in a village by the Nile. Yes, that's right. Just like Moses. My father was like grew up like playing in the Nile and avoiding crocodiles and stuff like that. He got the most interesting man in the world. And like when he was 7, he had to leave and he moved to a town in Western Sudan. He left his mom. He left his entire family other than his dad. His dad, my grandfather, was a merchant. So my dad lived with him as he went to school in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where he grew up. And then, obviously, he continued to grow, and he moved to Khartoum, and he went to college. And then midway through college, he decided to hitchhike through Europe. That's right, like with like $5 to his name. This man hitchhiked on boats and trains and all types of shit until he got to Europe and went to countries where he didn't speak any language and they didn't speak any language, and he had to talk about going into restaurants and going into the kitchen and for them to show him what's cooking so he could say yes to this and no to that or whatever, because there was no communication going on. I say all this to say, like, my dad has a million stories and I'm pretty sure I haven't heard them all. Even the ones I've heard are pretty interesting, but I wish there was a way I could get all the stories together, particularly the ones that I don't know yet. And now there is. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth is an online service that helps you and your dad or father figure connect through sharing stories and memories and preserves them for years to come. How it works. Every week, Storyworth emails your dad a thought-provoking question of your choice from a vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought of, like, what is one of your fondest childhood memories? Or have you ever feared for your life? There's a million questions you could ask, right? You know, for me, it would be like, when did you realize you were poor? I said, my dad grew up barefoot in a village. Like, what was the moment he realized he was poor? I don't think I've ever asked him that, but that's the kind of question I think I'd love to ask. And once I asked it, I really would enjoy reading the answers to those questions. You discover stories and memories you never heard about and learn new things about stories you thought you really knew. As I told you about my dad hitchhiking through Europe. After 1 year, Storyworth compiles all those questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book the whole family can share for generations. I mean, just think about it. I've got kids, and you know, luckily, you know, my dad and my mom live with us, so my kids have a relationship with their grandparents that I didn't have because my grandparents were dead, you know, before I was born. But imagine being able to go back and read all those stories and the crazy stories and memories that my dad had. It's a great story. Worth is This is one of probably one of the best Father's Day gifts you can come up with. So this is what I want you to do. Give all the fathers in your life a meaningful gift you can both cherish for years to come. StoryWorth. Right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storywatch.com/bomb. That's StoryWorth.com/BOMM. Save $10 off your first purchase. StoryWorth.com/BOMM.
I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, and my friend was like, oh, you should try, you know, like binge it. That's what I did. It took me such and such months to, you know, get through all of the seasons. Because
who binges Grey's Anatomy?
No, people like, binge Grey's Anatomy, Jason.
Yeah,
people
started over.
That's like binging fucking MASH or something. That show has 20 seasons. Like, how can you binge a show with that much content? That's insane.
Yeah.
That is absolutely wild.
And so I watched the first episode and I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to binge. And it's like 20 episodes per season. No, man.
Yeah,
get that
insane
shit out of here.
That show is still on now, right?
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that show was in, it's like sixth season. Like, I watched like two seasons when I was in college. I was dating this girl. She has like a 5-year-old now. Like, she's married and all this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how long the show's been on. And that, like, those seasons were like when the McSteamy dude was on, or I don't know.
Well, like, when there was actually a plot, like for the first 5-6 seasons, it's like, okay, we're treating this like a normal show. And then seasons like 11 to 15, it's like, okay, now we're in this whole new weird zone where we're just recycling stuff and we're just delivering.
Remember Katherine Heigl?
Remember when Katherine Heigl was going to take over the world? That didn't work out too well.
Oh, wow.
But yes.
She's one of the few people who's actually been canceled.
Grey's Anatomy, that what you're describing right there, that's a mindless binge, right? That's like, I'm making dinner and Grey's Anatomy is on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not a put your phone away and lock in with your precious private time. Like, you can find something better than that.
I think the last thing that I actually binged that was pretty, like, that was a lot was Scandal. Because I didn't watch Scandal when it first aired. I probably missed the first three seasons. And man, it was really intense. That was a fun binge. But once I caught up with everyone and I was able to watch the last two seasons with the rest of the world, I felt great. Like, I'm a part of the conversation, you know, and it was also, you know, really big during election season. And it was like this cool parallel as to like what was going on in current events, and having the show air weekly was just so dope to like be a part of that whole thing. I don't know. I wish you guys would watch it though.
That's what happened when I watched Game of Thrones. That was honestly like one of the greatest experiences of my life, which is weird because it's just like watching television show. Yeah. And it's so weird to say because it's just like, it's just a TV show, but literally like I got so much joy out of like being just engrossed in that show and catching up to where everybody was. I started watching the show. It was halfway through season 5. When I started it, and then so I finished it, you know, caught up with everybody by the end of season 5. I was, you know, keeping pace with everybody, but just getting fully immersed in that world, it was just such a fun thing. That and I think the next year I did Breaking Bad, which was also like, I love to watch things that are like kind of old that I missed that were great, you know, like
in time to catch up for it to be new.
Yeah. Or just to be able to like, cause I never watched The Sopranos when it was on. It was funny. Like, there's two Sopranos and Seinfeld. The only episodes I had ever watched of them were the last ones because it was like a big deal. Like in, you know, TV, everybody's like, oh, the finale. And it was just kind of like everybody was watching the finale at the same time.
Remember those days?
Yeah. And so I remember watching the Seinfeld finale. I had never seen an episode of the show. I always thought it was super white. I was like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was about. And the same thing with Sopranos. I was just like, like everybody was mad about the ending. I was like, yeah, that was kind of weird. I don't know what happened. And then like going back and watching Seinfeld, which is my favorite show, and then The Sopranos, which is probably in my top five. I mean, next to The Wire.
And Atlanta.
Right.
Donald Glover.
It was such a great show. I mean, The Sopranos is such a great show to binge from beginning to end. Like, if you miss the whole thing and you really get to enjoy that experience, like, it's so much fun. So, yeah, I tried. Have you guys ever quit a show towards the end that you were binging or you just kind of gave up on?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Like, you got to, like, the last season or the season before the last, and you're just like, yeah, I didn't finish.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this is, one, it was just really intense, and I was like, I don't see a conclusion happening, so I'm just going to abandon ship now.
Yeah.
No, it goes two ways for me. So I'm either, I'm pretty, like, if there's something that I'm not sure about, I usually will not start it. Like, I'm just like, yeah, all right, I'm putting this aside, like, I'm just gonna, like, whatever, I didn't watch it. Like Ozark, that's my Ozark for me. I'm like, all right, like, I didn't watch Ozark, I'm not gonna catch up, give up on me, like, leave me behind, like, just go.
so you're never gonna
I'm never
have
watching
a day
Ozark.
I was like,
never.
10 years down the line, never. You committed to that.
I'm dedicated to not watching
to not watching Ozark. Okay.
And
yeah,
then there's the show that I love, obviously I want to finish that. And then there's the show that I'm like, this show fucking sucks, but I'm in, baby. Like, I'm hate watching this. That's Ballers.
Oh, that's Ballers. Yeah. We're like, both
Ballers is coming back. This piece of shit is still going.
Yeah.
He's wearing more vests.
Yeah.
Who's it? He took down the NCAA. Who's next? Bring it on, Spence. Like, that type of shit. So that's pretty much the three. It's like, I'm all in because I hate it, or I'm out. That's it.
Yeah.
No halfway quitting.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm like B though. I got to the end of Lost, and I think I didn't watch like the
last
6 episodes.
Jason, you trying
episodes.
To get me to hang up this fucking call right now or what? Don't you be putting bad words about Lost out there in the universe. You should have just walked away, Jason. Should have walked away and let it be.
I've never seen it.
I did walk away. In the last 6 episodes, I never watched them. And it's crazy.
Would it be dope to binge?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was binging it. So this was back in the DVD days. My best friend Trey, he had Lost on DVD, and
I got him right over there, man. I can go get him. I got him sitting prime shelf position for the Lost DVDs.
Yeah, prime real estate over there.
Prime real estate. Got an ocean view and everything.
I was just getting out of film school, and he was like, yeah, man, you got to watch Lost. And I got super hooked. I was in love with that show. And then towards the end, it just took – I mean, it takes a lot of interesting turns. Kind of like Game of Thrones, you know, like where you're like, oh, I really did not expect this. As somebody who watches a lot of TV, I did not see this coming, and it's kind of cool. And so they have all these kind of sub worlds and different plot twists and turns they get into. And it's really interesting. A lot of dope character development and all this stuff. Storytelling. J.J. Abrams, shout out to him. But it does get kind of weird in the last season. And I was just like, I'm out. You know? But it's so strange if you know the show, because it's almost like you're like one step away from unlocking like the fucking safe with $1 billion in it, and you just kind of walk away from it, because that's how much of a mind fuck the show is. It's like, there's no more of a mind fuck that I've ever had than that television show. And I think that was part of my commitment to walk away, was like, I'm not gonna let you mind fuck me all the way to the end. I can walk away from this. And that was kind of how I
Jason,
felt about it.
But unfortunately, that's exactly what they wanted you to do. So you fell right into their hands, just as expected.
Yep.
No, that was my OG. Like, I was addicted to that show when it was on. I was glued to the TV every Wednesday at 9 p.m. when that show came out. I called my friend and did a beta version of what would become a podcast, just talking about the episode for 40 minutes every week.
Wow.
And so this was the thing that made me think about binging, because you brought up the DVDs, right? Like, there used to be TV off seasons, right?
Yes.
Like, everything would come back in the fall and end in the spring. There'd be like a winter break too. And then in the summer, there was nothing. So like, that's when you binge watch stuff. That's when you get into the DVDs. That's when you watch a show again. Like, how often do you get the opportunity to watch a show you really liked more than once? It just doesn't really happen anymore because there's always more. It's tough. Mm-hmm. You got to carve out that time. So yeah, that takes me back. Lost takes me back to a different time.
Yes.
And B, it's the same creator. It's the same writer as Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
So I think you would pick up a lot of those vibes if you were to partake in that.
And let me tell you, I binged that. I binged The Watchmen.
That's a great binge because it's a limited series.
Uh-huh.
And you just, you know, you pick it up after the fact. You knock it out all at once. It's a hell of a ride.
Now, what do you guys think about the limited series, or like us possibly reviewing a limited series? I've seen a lot of good ones recently. Your Honor, what was the Night of? There's been a lot of good ones. I can't think of them all right now, but We Own This City. I didn't know that was a limited series. Or is it? Yeah, I just started watching it. I didn't know that John Bernthal was in it. Which he's a really good actor that I like, nice character actor. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this show looks like it's going to be pretty good. And then I was like, oh, all the episodes are out already. Well, that's, I don't know if that's something that we can do. What do you guys think about the conversations around limited series and like all that?
I don't have an opinion.
What's that react? You don't like them?
Because
it's over?
No, because I like to watch things week to week, especially if it's something that we're going to be talking about. I want there to be people wanting to have the conversation. Like, oh, I saw that already. And me and my friends, we talked about this. And it's like, no, like, let's have a conversation about some things. Because, you know, I suggested that we check out P-Valley, which comes on, you know, this week. And Jason is like, fuck that show.
No,
they're degrading black
P-Valley.
Women.
I can't do this shit again. Why are you guys making me watch all this garbage every week? Yep, no, I was there. I heard it. That's exactly
I did
how
not,
it sounded, B.
That is not what I said. It just looks, I don't like the look of the show. I'm going to just be honest. It just
in what
looks,
way?
Like
please
the,
explain.
It just looks kind of cheap. Like it's giving Tyler Perry movie. It's giving it's just not a high quality, like, just aesthetic, I guess. You know, like.
So, did you watch all of the first season?
No, I watched one episode,
knew
that. It
wasn't and I will
for me.
Say that I will say that the first episode, the pilot episode, does not look like the rest.
The rest, yeah.
Like but, it feels like they did just this one episode and shopped it. For someone to pick it up, and then they got the budget.
Yeah, that happens for sure.
Yeah, that's usually. I mean, you could look at most shows, and they kind of are like that. I remember like
sometimes
the Sex
the pilot
City.
Is shot years ahead of the actual show.
Like for real, Jason, if you go and watch episode one, you will see a huge difference in episode two and three. It's a day and night.
And I also so here's my other
Kid Cudi.
it's my son's favorite song, by the way.
here's my other personal like issue or critique with stuff with content like that. Like when it comes to like stripper related content, I would prefer it be like a one off, like a movie or a documentary, like Players Club or Pimps Up Hoes Down or something like that, than something I have to watch continually. I just don't.
Wait.
I'm
why?
Just, I don't.
You
I don't
just
know.
Just told us you want the treasures for your birthday, and now you're sitting here hating on strip club culture. Like, what do you mean?
No,
he
I'm
wants
not.
To keep
I'm
the
not
fantasy
hating.
Alive. B, you know, he doesn't want to get to know them too well, like, learn their real names, and learn that it's not all glitz and glamour up on that stage. You know,
right?
But B, I will watch P-Valley. I will watch P-Valley without watching season one, just so I come in with. Like, what the hell is going on with this person takes? I'll do that for you. Jason, I can't speak for him, but I'll do that.
I just felt like we could find a better show that's has a little bit more of like a well-rounded concept.
Wow.
But
what?
That's just how I feel. It's just like, I don't know. I put it in the same, like, Breath is like Claws or something. Like, I'm sure there are good shows. It's just like, it's not my type of like continual entertainment. Like, I could watch.
I feel like you hating on black women, dog.
Nah, like, I love, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I love them strippers.
Yeah, I love them strippers. I love it just as much as the next person. You know, Players Club is one of my favorite movies ever. You know, but I don't know. I don't have a desire to want to watch that every week and like analyze it. I feel like also like my analysis might be like too like harsh, you know?
It's what we call a hate watch, Jason. You need to baptize yourself in the waters of watching a show that's not elite. And it's almost as fun as talking about shows that are elite sometimes.
That's right. That'll make great content. What do you mean, Jason? Why don't you come in and talk shit about P-Valley every week?
I mean, hey, we can try it out. I don't want to be the one guy who's, you know, throwing salt on the show. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, it didn't seem like it would be something I'd be excited to sit down and check out.
I'm really interested in what the listeners, you know, of this podcast, of Showtime, what they are watching and what would they suggest that we check out so we can join the conversation.
But
you know,
see,
hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram, let us know what y'all talking about. Because, you know, I'm interested in trying something new. You know, even though Jason's not trying to expound on his viewership.
But see, here's the thing, B. Like, I watch so many shows, I feel like, and Maze does too, I feel like you should come over to our side. Like, we've been talking about Hacks. You don't give Hacks a shot. Hacks, I think, is probably the best.
I don't know what it is.
I know. I sent you there's a billboard for it in your city. Which was one of the coolest things that I saw in Vegas.
He just got caught in a lie, folks.
Oh. Yeah.
Fell right into that trap right there.
Got him.
I think it's a tough time for us to pick a show just because while we were doing Winning Time in Atlanta, there was like seven other things. And so we're late on a bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah.
There's like B's saying, you know, she wants to join a show that's about to be in progress so we can, you know, keep up week to week and stuff. But I honestly think we might have to check out something that's already come out and like do two episodes and just give it a shot. And I'll throw out, there's Tokyo Vice, which is like cops in Tokyo. There's Outer Range, which is Western alien shit. And yeah, there's P-Valley.
I like Tokyo Vice, the idea behind it. The old, not old, but the company I worked at before this, we actually did the dailies. So interesting story about that show. I've been meaning to watch it too, because the guy who I was like closest friends with at the company, he was the dailies operator for that show. He actually flew to Japan, end up falling in love and getting married out there.
Wow.
Because of this show. So he lives in Japan now because of this show. His name is Greg. Shout out Greg. He's gonna come back out here. We're gonna have lunch and hang out. But yeah, he
Wow, you get to see him. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I had that coming. That was a good one.
This podcast is turning into an all-out war.
So I've been meaning to watch the show. Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort. I fucking hate Elgort. Him, but I'm willing to overlook his stupid face for everything else that's going on in that show.
Yeah, he stars in it. But yeah, I'm interested just based off of my connection with the guy that did the dailies on the show. And it looks really good, like the cinematography and
So Tokyo Vice. I'm down.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. But I don't, the only thing about Tokyo Vice is I don't know anybody else that watches the show or even cares about it.
Exactly. You know, so that's the only why we gotta spread the word, you know? That's why we gotta blaze a trail here. I mean, like, there will be another big weekly tentpole show at some point.
Yeah.
I know it'll happen. Like, I'm looking at, you know, my list and, like, the upcoming stuff. And most of it is, like, returning shows. So it's like,
yeah,
if we want to jump in on, you know, The Boys. Like, I don't want to make you two watch two seasons of The Boys by Friday. Yeah. Like, it's just a little much, you know? So, like, I think we should dip our toes in, like, Tokyo Vice, see how it feels. If we want to keep going, we keep going. If we want to do something else, you know, go to P-Valley.
And hate watch
Jason
P-Valley.
Can make a pick. Like, we can do it all, baby. We got the whole world at our fingertips. It's showtime, baby.
That's right.
I mean, my other pick is Barry. I think Barry is super dope. But we're already in the middle of that, you know.
I mean, I'm up on Barry. So if you want to, wherever you're at, I can talk about it also.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you start from season one?
Yeah, I've been watching it since it came out.
Okay, so you're caught
up. What season is it in now?
It's in three.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm caught up. I always watch Barry every Sunday. I always pretty much watch all the HBO shows when they premiere. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny because it has that style that everybody's doing now where they jump into some weird shit. Like they always have a random episode, or they have an episode that ends on some like kind of odd vignette, like this last one where they're like racing the fucking motorbikes and shit, you know.
So they could do some drone stuff. That's really what that seemed to be. Like, they wanted to do some dynamic motorcycle chase with the drone actually going on the highway with them. I thought it was cool from a stylistic approach, but I didn't like. I thought episode 5, the one the week before, was like the best episode of the year for sure. Crazy time shit show.
That's the one where she tells him to get the fuck out.
Yeah, that's the one where he tells the incredibly creepy story. It's the one where we've got the guy FaceTiming with the mob boss back in Chechnya. Meanwhile, their entire compound gets eviscerated and becomes the center of a firefight with the police, all while he's streaming it live.
Yeah.
on the internet. So like that was some peak stuff right there. But yeah, I've enjoyed this season a lot. I thought that all the characters are kind of doing really interesting things on their arcs this season. And
okay, but
yeah, man.
Yeah, before we get off, I want to ask you two questions about Barry. So
Barry Bonds, he never cheated, and he's the greatest player in the history of baseball. Does that answer your question?
Agreed. No, I agree with you 100%. Well, actually, not 100%. He probably cheated, but he is definitely. He's without a doubt that he was never caught, and he's without a doubt to me the greatest baseball player of all time. And I grew up a Ken Griffey Jr. fan, but I had to understand, like, he's the Tiger Woods, the Michael Jordan of baseball, and it's really fucked up that they won't let him in the Hall of Fame. But about Barry, what do you think about the Joplin storyline?
That's like the best part of this season, I think.
Yeah.
To me. Like. So, B, yeah. Let me fill you in real quick. So, one of the characters in Barry is, when we meet her for the first two seasons, she's a very, very struggling actress. Emphasis on struggling. Like, not getting any work. Works at a coffee shop. But she's in this acting class, and by the end of the second season, she has this, like, one-woman, one-act play, essentially, that they put on. And some influential people see it, and they sign her to a TV deal. And they want her to repackage her one-woman show into a whole series. And so this season starts, and she's show running, and she's on set, and she's giving notes to everybody, and everything's happening for her. And the show is already premiered, and then it was on the homepage of the streaming service for 5 minutes, and then it gets pulled down. She goes and has a meeting with the executives who work for a company called Banshee. It's essentially Netflix, but it's called Banshee.
Yeah, it's like a Netflix Hulu hybrid.
Yeah.
And they tell her, yeah, so, you know, your show just hasn't been hitting the taste clusters the way we'd like it to, and it's really just not catching on. So you're canceled, actually. And your show's been up for 12 hours. And then she has this like meltdown, you know, because why wouldn't you? Because your whole life got pulled out from under you. And she had a great Rotten Tomatoes score. So how could this be happening to her? But that's brilliant because it's HBO. It's an HBO show lampooning the streaming service industry.
And model.
Larry David actually did a pretty similar thing in his last season of Curb.
Yeah, he did. He
shopped his Young Larry show to Netflix, and he shopped his Young Larry show to Hulu, and both times there was a ethnically diverse panel of executives who just kind of ha-ha and smiled and laughed at his jokes when in the pitch meeting. But, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. Sally is one of the most hateable characters in television.
She's so hateable.
But what they've done with her this season has been the best use of her by far, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, I thought the scene, I think it was from this week's episodes, where they were like, we want her to be more like, huh.
Yes. Not yes, like. Exactly.
Yeah.
Facial reactions. And they bring in Vanessa Bayer to do that, of course. And it just reminded me of I Think You Should Leave. That really felt like an I Think You Should Leave sketch. But what did you think of my man with the beignets?
Yeah, that was my second question for
Begnets
you.
Beignets by Mitch.
Yeah. You see that character in TV a lot. The random kind of semi-shaman who's, has some menial job. It's usually like a janitor or something like that. That's, you know, gives all this wise information to all the characters in the show. Knows nothing about their lives, but talks to them for 30 seconds and, you know, instantly gives them the answer. I thought it was pretty good. I like the way they shot his performance, where he's kind of just standing there in the middle of the frame and he's just like very much like Spicoli. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He doesn't move. He's literally like. Like the entire, he's in multiple scenes. Each scene, he's like head kind of tilted up, eyes like sort of glazed over. He's your classic SoCal stoner bro. And he's just a dude who loves making beignets and is irrationally deep.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was really good.
I got to check this out.
No, you do. You do. It's
dude,
a really good
for
show.
Sure. Okay. So, Jay, I knew I had seen this guy before. So, there's this, and this is absurd because this is the only show I've ever watched on Facebook. But there was a Facebook/YouTube show called The Real Bros of Simi Valley.
He was in that.
He was the announcer at the skating. So, there's like a, it's essentially making fun of like the Real Housewives but it's about bros from the Valley in LA.
Is this the one where they were talking about the baby?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. I've seen that clip.
That clip pulled me in. And that's the one where one of the guys is really pissed at the other guy's baby because he thinks he's disrespecting him. losing his shit over it. But yeah, this guy who played Mitch, the beignet man, he was the skateboarding announcer, and he just did the whole announcing of all the tricks in that same monotone. Yeah, and then Chad, like, did an ollie over that vert ramp, and it was dope, dude. Like, he totally shredded it.
Yeah, he was good in Barry this week. But yeah, Bill Hader plays Barry, an ex-military guy who's an assassin who's trying to leave his assassin life. And then he joins an acting class, and Henry Winkler, the Fonz, plays his acting teacher, Gene Cousineau. And his performance is what makes the show. In the same way that like Ari Gold makes Entourage, the show
never
is
seen
not,
it.
What? Oh, yeah. No, you might make me leave this podcast
you.
Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I told you.
I think that's the end of the episode, guys.
We're pushing buttons.
That might
next
be a
week,
wrap for
next
me.
Next week, going to have to ask Jason and B to hug it out, bitch. Or else this podcast showtime might be off the air permanently.
Wow. Mine blown.
Yeah, I know. Would that be a bingeable show for me?
Yes, B. So I had my girlfriend binge Entourage. She had never seen it, and she doesn't like to watch a lot of stuff. She does. So it's funny because I was watching Obi-Wan, and I had to. I was trying to get her to binge Star Wars, and we got like halfway through it, and she gave up. And I really like pressed her to do it, but she loved Entourage. She loved it. And so I think it's just one of those things, like if you're a millennial, Entourage is the best show that came out in the past 20 years.
And people say that, but I always felt like we're so, like, I felt like it was a pop culture moment. You didn't watch it then, you probably might,
you might love it more now because we, like, I think people of our age love that time so much, and that show captures that time so beautifully.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's when I say beautifully, I'm not like, it's not like some emotional. It's really silly and superficial, but it's so fun.
Rich bros having fun. Yeah. That's really all it comes down to. And Ari Gold is there to just deliver garbage trucks full of dialogue in about a couple minutes. Like, he's just ripping off crazy chunks of scenes, and just everything is like, he's the agent B, so he's just like always on the phone, always going 250 miles an hour, like ripping dicks off, trying to get shit done. It's a lot. I mean, it's one of the broiest shows in the history of television, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's done so well, and it's acted so well, and it's cast perfectly. In my top five shows, it'd probably be Seinfeld, The Wire, and Entourage would probably be third for me. I can watch that show anytime.
Crazy.
It's a weird three, but like that's just. I mean, I like.
I guess if you take the essence of each of those shows, B, and just distill it down into like one drop, and then you mix those drops up, that's how you get Jason.
Exactly. Exactly.
Entourage, The Wire, and Seinfeld.
That's who I am.
No black female leads. That's cool. That's cool.
Oh man. What is the best show with a black female lead? I guess Living Single. Yeah, I would say Living Single is better than Insecure. Okay. I don't know. What do you think? What's your thought on that?
I can't really compare those two. I don't know. It's like having a sitcom. Is Insecure considered a sitcom?
Not really.
No. Take the sit out. It's just a com.
Comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moesha was a good.
I watched it, but it wasn't one of those shows like, oh my God, I want to go back and watch it. I would watch Sister before I watch
I used to love
Moesha.
Sister.
Yeah. But now I watched it because I was a huge Immature fan. I love watching Marcus Houston.
Like Marcus Houston.
Yeah. I like
go
watching
home,
him.
Roger.
That's right. Get out of here. I think as far as black female-led shows, it's definitely Insecure for me. Like, I guess because it was so relatable, me and Issa are like around the same age, you know what I mean? Like we're in our 30s, and when the show began, it was just like nothing was like that on TV. Now having a show where you got Queen Latifah as the lead, there was like, even watching it back in the day, it was like, there's nothing relatable to the show because one, I just didn't believe that Khadijah was like, I didn't just see her as like that girl. You know what I mean? Like, I like to have a character where I'm like, I relate to her. I think she's dope. She's flawed, but, you know, I still rocks with her. And that's how it was for Issa with me. But Khadijah, nah, not so much.
Man, we're going to have to come back next week. I'm going to have to give you some black female-led shows that I will put up against Insecure. Because Insecure is definitely top. Like, Issa Rae did her thing, and that show is phenomenal. But it was for sure inspired by some other, you know, things. And I'm sure there's other things in the 90s where when we had a lot more black entertainment, then we didn't have that dry spell in the 2000s when it was things I could reference. But I guess it was
Girlfriends
a
lot of, was good.
Oh, yeah. Girlfriends was the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girlfriends. Shout out to Tracee Ellis Ross, man.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
And don't sleep on Abbott Elementary. Which I think is
oh, yeah.
really good.
Strong for that, because you know.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite new show. That's my favorite
Quinta,
new show.
You got Quinta, but also, you know, the principal and the older teacher are both.
Yeah, Cheryl Lee Ralph.
As much as Quinta.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, that show is literally my favorite new show. Like, the past 2 years, that's number one, without a doubt.
Wow.
How does it compare to Entourage, though? Oh, we're out of time. Guess we'll have to get filled in on that next week. For Jason Madison, Bethany Anderson, our birthdays are over. We're old now. I'm Anthony Mays.
Unfortunately.
See you next time.
Peace.